The president's approval ratings are soaring up to the 50% mark. Highest it's been in 8 months. How many months do we have to go until the November elections? Are the Republicans worried? What is the cause for the upswing in the numbers? A lot of people think, yep, this economy is taking a turn. What do you think? Kate Delaney, America Tonight, Coast to Coast, and all the nooks and crannies in between. It's interesting because we have this huge budget that will pump trillions more ultimately into the deficit, a budget that's not going to pass anyway. And then we have this crazy payroll tax deal that has just gone on way too long, a tug of war where it should have ended. Somebody should have come in and cut the rope. We're sick of it. We're sick of hearing about it. We get it, okay? It's you and us. It's them and the others. I mean, whatever you want to call it. Two different teams digging their heels in the sand, and it's only about politics. You have the House Speaker John Boehner really trying to defend the move that he made and that the Republicans made. He said, you know, we're not going to allow Democrats to continue to play games and cause a tax increase for hardworking Americans. We made a decision to bring them to the table so this would stop and we'd get it worked out. The Democrats say, no, they're the ones who did it. In the end, it'll be a $100 billion payroll tax cut extension that's not paid for. But as they're saying out of Washington, what do you want from us? It's the only way to prevent a tax hike. So the deal cuts the maximum length of unemployment benefits from 99 weeks to 73. The deal extends the tax cut, like I said, and not only just the unemployment stuff, but the doctor fix through the end of the year. This was also a big sticking point. I think I've explained this over and over again. Now, at this point, it's the so-called doc fix through the rest of the year, because what the problem is getting reimbursed for work that's done, that's sending a lot of doctors for the hills. They're saying they don't want to, you know, they're not going to practice anymore or whatever. And it's led to this negotiation, let's say. The wall came tumbling down big time. So the House and the Senate pretty much are saying, the conference committees are saying that, yeah, they approve it. It should sail through. Friday they'll take the vote. And, you know, the Republican House freshmen, now they're the interesting ones. They were elected as part of the whole Tea Party thing, and they've made the deficit reduction pretty much their top thing. This is it. We're going for the deficit reduction, and they insist any initiatives have to fully be paid for. But it's not looking like there's probably going to be some that vote no, but it's not looking like it's going to get turned down. It's looking like it's going to pass. So that means there's got to be bipartisan cooperation, or it wouldn't be able to sail through the committees the way it is, and then ultimately getting the seal of approval. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the discussion. We knew this was going to happen. So now it's just another one of these things that we talk about. What does it mean? And I already described it as there's two teams, and you're playing on one team or playing the other team, or you're tired of all these teams. You want a different alternative. Right now you don't necessarily have that. But maybe in the future there will be, because the Democrats and the Republicans are digging themselves, I think, in a very big hole for people who are tired of this kind of government. Not a Democratic government, but of what's happening, the log jams, the bickering, the seemingly endless charades that are going on for people who are making pretty good living and aren't getting a lot of traction in Washington. I don't want to jump on the soapbox right at the top, so I'm going to move away from that and talk about a couple of other things, like what's happening in the Middle East. A lot of you are concerned about Iran, and for good reason. Because does it affect all of us? You bet it affects us. If we jump into Iran, you have Israel and Iran arguing over back and forth, shots rather across the bow as to whether or not there's going to be some kind of a problem, there's going to be some kind of an eruption between the two countries. We are in the thick of that, baby. Whether we want to be or not, whether we think we should be or not, whether there couldn't there be negotiations, it's not happening. You got subs underwater that are trailing our giant aircraft carrier. I mean, there is massive maneuvering going on. One mistake and everything will explode in the Strait of Hormuz. And we've been talking about that for months now. Nobody has backed down. Nobody is backing down off of this thing. So while we get out of one sticky situation in Iraq, and we see that some other bombings have happened there, then we move on to finishing up Afghanistan and the Taliban saying that they're just going to jump right back into place. Now, on top of that, we have the situation with Iran, not to mention Syria, where people are, imagine this. I just want you to think about this for a second, because we don't live this way. That's why we live in the best place in the face of the earth, the United States of America. I can't imagine, I really can't imagine being in my nice, quiet neighborhood, seeing tanks suddenly roll through the neighborhood and start to fire on our houses. That's exactly what's happening in Syria. So it's not, oh, the regime versus the uprising. It's the, no, we're going to blow up anybody that we can find in our way. Man, woman, child, whoever. So it's crazy how out of control the situation there has gotten. But we knew that. Assad's a nutball, and he's not going without a fight. Just put him in line with everybody else. And then, if he is ultimately picked off, who comes in to take his place? I mean, it's a nightmare. And this is a nightmare that, since I was a kid, this has been discussed. Middle East politics, brokering peace. So far, we have not had the ultimate peace accord. Has not happened. And why do you think that is? Because you're talking about countries that, one, I don't think want to necessarily listen. They want to do their own thing, right? So they don't want to necessarily pay attention to what the United States says or what NATO, other countries involved. They want to do what they think is right for them, and whether it's Sunnis, Shiites, or Kurds, for example, you have big-time religious roots, people that go back in their clans for centuries, and they don't want to see change across the board. Even if they think they want democracy, the way that it's happening, it's not the kind of democracy that we think of. And it's a different form of it, I guess, if they could even say they have it. In Iraq, certainly, they can say that, because to this point, they're voting. To this point, they're voting for people. But I don't know that you're going to see that in Tunisia and Egypt. They're having problems in Egypt. I don't know that you're going to see that ultimately in Syria either. Yes, there might be votes, but I'm wondering how honest those elections really will be. All right, we're going to take some calls on the flip side. Oh, we had Christina from Sweden. Let's hope she calls back. We need to get a weather check from her. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. I'll meet you on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you're having any problems with the IRS or a local revenue agency, I understand and I can help. I'm tax attorney Tony Dennison. When I was a kid, the IRS came after my mother's house because of mistaken information. Ever since then, I've dedicated my life to defending people in trouble with the IRS. I'm a real tax attorney, which means I have two law degrees, a standard law degree known as a JD, and a tax law degree known as a Master's of the Laws in Taxation. I've been practicing for 10 years, and I've helped many of your fellow citizens in tax trouble. If you're in tax trouble, you don't need to be alone, and you don't need to call one of those fake lawyer clearinghouses. Call me, Tony Dennison, at Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141, or on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com. It may be the best call you make all year. Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141. And again, on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com.
The president busts a move while the Republicans lie in wait. Well, not really lying around. They're giving speeches and trying to get some votes and get some momentum going. Because now the avalanche of important delegates, states where they can pick up a bunch of delegates, are coming up starting February 22nd. But is it the advantage the president has of being the incumbent president, the war of words that he's winning? The fact that he's got a great campaign team and they're planting the seeds already of the eeny, meeny, miny, moe theory of the Republicans. I think the Republicans, I mean, in fact, I'm convinced of it because we're going to be there broadcasting. I think we're going to see a brokered convention. I think we're going to see a brokered convention in Tampa. I really do. Jay is listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Jay.
Okay.
What's going on, buddy? How are the roads out there?
Just a little bit of rain, nothing we can't handle.
Good.
Hey, a couple things. First of all, Iran, as far as the Republican primary and going up against the president head-to-head with whoever the nominee ends up being, all that do is point to Iran and how Obama's administration is stripping down our military. They're talking about dropping our warheads down to 300 now.
Yeah.
And if you look at the economy our dealing with China and our bowing down to them every inch of the way, just on China alone, if they brought those issues up, Barack Obama would be done. But I think Santorum, the reason he's surging so unexpectedly would be because he benefited. He basically got all kinds of free commercials from Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney by them attacking each other, and that he just came out shining with everybody with them two thinking it was a two-man race between each other. You know, they just by going after each other the way they did and pointing out all their faults, Santorum just rose to the top like that. And
yep.
I think they really underestimated him. Now Gingrich is looks like he's going to be out of it, even though the only reason he's staying in it is because he's still mad at Romney. but Romney's got a lot of money. The attack ads are going to start on Santorum now. But I really like some things about Santorum. Some of his voting records are is what's going to end up coming up because he voted for some pork.
Yes.
And, but everyone up there did. Okay. The real unemployment numbers we know is approximately 15%. They adjusted by how many jobs fell off versus how many people are looking for work. And they make it sound, they paint it to where the dumb people of America that are tuning in to the Alphabet news groups, and we all know that they're going to back the president. They're all Democratic news groups for the most part, all the major ones anyway, with the exception of maybe Fox. But the real unemployment numbers are buried. And he just wants the public to think everything's great and everything's not great. If this man's president for four more years, we're just going to be in so much trouble. It's just amazing that the public really don't open their eyes. People that are backing Obama, and they just don't see the real pictures. So that's all I wanted to weigh in on. But
I agree.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah. Good to talk to you too, Jay. I agree with what Jay's saying about the numbers. And remember this, I mean, you know, it's just like the CBO, when the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan supposedly, and they put out numbers for Republicans or Democrats, whoever the president is, they're always skewed in a different way. And the unemployment numbers aren't right. Listen, I'd be the first person to get on, and I'm going to just say this, I really mean this. If things were rosy and fabulous and wonderful, and even if I didn't like Obama's presidency, but I couldn't deny that we had great employment opportunities, that the unemployment number was crazily low, and, you know, it was all peaches and cream, I would say bravo. You know, there were a lot of people that didn't like Bill Clinton, but when things were going well with Bill Clinton's administration, and you can talk about different reasons why economically, economically there was a big turn where things were going well and we weren't worried about a giant deficit. There would be hardcore, even though they didn't like Bill Clinton, they didn't like the whole Monica Lewinsky thing or other things about him, they would give him that. But that's why he was able to work with a Republican Congress. They would give Clinton that. They would say, okay, well, this is what's happening. I'm going to give him kudos on that one. But we can't say that. Those numbers aren't correct. I've asked people who are nonpartisan to look at them for me, and they say exactly what Jay's said, exactly what we've been saying. It's not an attack. It's just what it is. The numbers are not the right numbers. The unemployment, the underemployed, and the people who have just flat out given up is a huge number. They don't have the heart to do it anymore because they can't find these supposed jobs that are so readily available, and they beat themselves up because they feel so much like a failure from everything that they're hearing on the news. Why aren't they, you know, why aren't they getting a job? How come I can't get a job if they say there's all these jobs? And then the jobs that are minimum wage jobs, well, you know, good luck if you lost whatever job because the company folded or they downsized or whatever the reason was, and you're the head of the household. You're not going to work out. It's not going to work out too well if you're trying to stretch that budget to feed a bunch of kids and figure out how you're going to make it and hold on to that house. But we know the doom and the gloom. I mean, it's there. It's in your neighborhood or five streets over or whatever it is. And if that's not the case, I want to hear about your community. If you have a community where, man, things are just pumping and going and pretty much people are helping each other out and you're seeing that there's the employment picture is pretty rosy, definitely please take a minute to give a shout out. Send that to me at americatonight.net. I'm looking around, and it's not what I've seen, not when I've called various chambers of commerce and talked to others. In fact, I'm going to start to do that. I'm going to start every week to list a bunch and tell you about those conversations and maybe have some people on to show you what I've found, to show you what some of the research is showing. And this is just kind of spitballing it in a few random places. I got to tell you about this story quickly, because TCU football has had now a top program, a top 10 program. They've got football players that were among 18 students that are accused of drug dealing on the campus of Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas. They were doing some undercover work for 6 months. And they ended up arresting four football players, four top players, two defensive starters for the squad, where they finished the season ultimately, I think 14, something like that. What the group did is they sold marijuana, coke, ecstasy, acid, prescription medicine to undercover officers during that time of that investigation, the six-month time. And so they had them. They just were following them, watching what they were using social media to do, the hand-to-hand delivery, all that stuff. And the students were expelled. And that was an incredible ring they had going, running stuff all over the place. And let alone the football players. So if it's going on there, what do you think's happening rather on other campuses? Certainly, it's not the only campus where this has happened, but it was devastating to the parents and the students who learned about what was going on with the selling of drugs and who was winding up on the campus trying to buy stuff. And the activity apparently is incredible, worth just tons, thousands and thousands of dollars. They haven't even put a dollar amount on it because it's so shocking how big it is. So if it's happening at that campus, you got to think that there's probably a few other campuses where it might be happening too. All right, stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, an interview you don't want to miss about mortgages and the situation we're in and what's being done, how one guy views it. Richard Kahn next.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. Solar power generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar power generator from Solutions from Science. Go to mysolarbackup.com for more information. That's mysolarbackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off of your teeth both as a vapor and as particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 10 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Well, we've been talking about this for a long time now in America Tonight. The fiasco with the housing crisis, the mortgages. We've analyzed this. We've turned it upside down, just like those credit swaps and everything else. Seriously, it's just insane what has happened the last 3-4 years. I've told you stories about my own family in Florida or in Los Angeles and how they turned their situations around. I had a friend in a house that they bought for $1 million because, you know, it's always higher in California. Now it's worth like $750. So we know these stories. And we also know from the other end, too, where somebody got something where it was $200. Now it's worth $140. And we've gone through numbers and scenarios and situations. So last week, they announced, the state and the feds announced a settlement of $26 billion with five of the nation's banks over these fraudulent foreclosure practices that affected millions of people and became commonplace after, you know, the huge housing boom turned to bust in the last couple of years. So I'm very excited about our next guest. He's in the green room right now, but Richard Kahn is joining us. And Richard has a lot of experience in this area. In fact, 30 years in mortgage analysis and residential, commercial, real estate, all kinds of things. I could go on and on about his resume. And he's got a book out called Winning Against Foreclosure. Love that title. Richard, who won or who lost last week with that announcement of the settlement?
I think the banks won and the borrowers facing foreclosure won.
Yeah, there you go. And the banks, too, they were all the big boys, of course.
They're the five big boys. There's Ally, GMAC, there's Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America. They're the big players on the block.
Yeah. What about, you know, and this is something that's for the listeners that I have across the country, And all different kinds of listeners, just it infuriated everybody that we paid almost $1 trillion in TARP money and hundreds of billions to Fannie and Freddie. And then we look what happens nobody's caught in the crosshairs of this thing. Fannie and Freddie, if we just took that example, they asked for more money, and then they wonder why people are so upset by that. So I'm just going to focus for a second on Fannie and Freddie. What do you think has to happen there?
Well, if I was to be brought before Congress, what I would testify would be that Fannie and Freddie should be allowing the mortgages that we paid off as taxpayers, that 1.5 or 4 trillion you rightfully speak about, should be given over to the American government, and that our mortgage payments on those mortgages should be negotiated out for loan loss mitigation, in other words, modified, and then those mortgage payments would now go to the government to reduce our debt, and the people would stay in their homes and everybody would be happy.
Yeah, but it's so easy. I don't understand why there's a blind spot with that. Is it just because of the control and here's my piece of the pie, here's yours, and we're going to just mix it all up and I don't want to hear what you have to say? I mean, is that just politics?
You know, the banks created this by issuing predatory mortgages designed to foreclose. And the fact that borrowers have had their mortgages paid off by investors who have been paid off and are no longer claiming their mortgages, or that they're claiming ownership, we basically have the repo man having their employees testify to be different third parties in front of the court and taking those homes into their own real estate portfolios without ever having a dime of money loaned out on them.
Crazy. You got a company, I didn't mention this, that trains attorneys and some others to be mortgage fraud investors. I can imagine you've had your hands full. What are some of the things that you've seen?
Oh, you know, my FPG-USA.com Academy, I wanted to say that I train attack dogs. I'm called Robin Hood, and they're my merry men or women, however you think it. But the training is to identify these things that are now under the new settlement that's brought up, like robo-signing and various other things prohibited, and attack those foreclosures and make them come to the table and negotiate good long-term loan modifications.
Yeah. How did the robo-signing thing, how did that – I mean, look at how long it took to crack that. Really, people knew that was going on, and then that's how it started to leak out. How did that all break?
We started it back in just before October of 2010 with – it was actually here in Florida – exposing Chase and LPS, Lender Processing Services, and DocX, the fabricating the loan document fabrication divisions.
Yeah. Eric Holder, the Attorney General, keeps saying that, oh, don't worry, people are going to go to jail over this, but we really haven't seen that. Do you think that they're going to be dogged in that pursuit and it just hasn't happened yet? They're trying to dot the I's and cross the T's?
The Federal Reserve Bank, the largest, most powerful institution on the planet, is owned by its member banks. If you think that anybody that's affiliated with the Fed is going to jail, I think you have a second guess there.
I love that. And everybody's going to love that line because we hate that. We say, get rid of the Federal Reserve. Do something. Audit it. Come on. Give us a break here. It's ridiculous. It's crazy what's happened. When are things going to turn around? So we saw the big bubble, and then we've seen what's happened as a result. Are we going to see a turn, or are we just fantasizing about that?
Well, the key is here that I believe you've seen a moratorium on foreclosures pending the outcome of the settlement. I think now that the settlement has been settled and it greatly benefits the banks in terms of at least the settlement. I mean, you take a person who's been wrongfully foreclosed and thrown out on the street, they're going to get $2,000. If that's not an insult, I don't know what is. You take a person who's $250,000 upside down on their mortgage, and they're going to get $30,000, and that's going to be great. You know, they're just kidding themselves. But the big benefit of the settlements, and the attorney generals do deserve kudos for what they set up in terms of going forward.
So going forward, what's going to be that? What's going to change everything and get the landscape back to where we're not on such shaky ground, hopefully?
Well, they're going to put an end to robo-signing, you know, that signing of affidavits filed with the court without personal knowledge. They're going to put some pre-foreclosure referral institution of 14 days before delinquent loans. Now you're going to have to take and look at the loan modifications for real. The services are going to have to now support the right to foreclose. You can't just come in and say, whoops, this is mine and I'm taking it. Now you have to have plain language, you have to prove it, you have to have borrower's payment history. bank servicers are going to have to properly document their authority to file a foreclosure action. I mean, my firm has been ripping them apart with the facts for years. The benefit is that if you come across with the actual evidence to provide into court that indeed these certain things are taking place, false documentation, forgery, various other things like that, well, now you have a way to ensure that that is going to be brought up, at least under the new settlement.
Yeah. The you mentioned Florida where you are, and I've talked about California, and I've seen how bad it is there. Are they the two hot spots in Nevada? Are they the worst, all three, those three states?
I tell you, the California, Nevada, Arizona, Washington, Georgia, Florida, New York, Texas. I mean, at least 30 of the states that I'm testifying in, it's a nightmare.
Really? Wow. And so with the testimony you're doing, you must be flying all the time. Are you, you're just bopping from state to state?
We do it all by telephone, and like we're doing it here. We do it by telephone, phone conference, video conference. The judges allow it. We've established ourselves as experts. It's low cost to the borrower. It enables the parties to have expert, highest quality expert testimony at very little cost.
How much of that fraud have you uncovered? Did you keep little hash marks? Do you keep a tally on it? How many cases?
Oh, many dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens. Well, you do have to keep a hash and tally because some judges want to know. For example, I was testifying in Colorado the other day, and the judge asked, you know, how many cases have you testified in Colorado? So we do keep boards, and, you know, the computer situation now is that your databases can give you pretty much everything you want.
Yeah. Was there one case that you had that was particularly satisfying where you were able to really help someone out? Because you're helping everyone out who you obviously that you're working for and trying to help them. But was there one that you really turned over that was great?
You know, I think in general, I have to say that I have seen too many previously successful people who are working, able to afford their mortgages, crying and just distraught that the mortgage they felt they took turned the mortgage that was, say, $1,000 a month to $5,000 a month. Mm. They had equity in the home. Now they don't have equity in the home. They took a mortgage, but now they're being thrown out on the street and evicted. They wanted to modify, but they can't modify. They're ready to commit suicide. You know, saving a person's home is like saving their life, and we do that on a regular basis. These people that are listening to your radio show that are feeling that they are bad, they are wrong, they are debtors, they're the party who is on the wrong. Guess what? That's not the case, because if somebody pays off your mortgage, you're entitled to it under the note to get the benefit of it. It wouldn't mean if it was Topper 67 years ago, or it was just somebody who won the lottery, or your next-door neighbor, or your mother, or your parent, or your government. If somebody paid it off, there is no reason that the servicer, they know that information and they're privy to it, can come and take your home away from you when really, in reality, that home belongs to you. It was paid off.
Yeah, ooh, that's a good way to look at it, too. And you're right. A lot of people, they're hanging their head in shame, and that's part of the problem. They're having a hard time dealing with that.
Well, guess what? They are, in many cases, the victims of wrongful predatory foreclosure, and they just don't know it. Most of these people lose because they don't contest.
Yeah. Yep, so there's a lesson. Contest. And pick up Richard's book, Winning Against Foreclosure. Richard Kahn, thanks so much for coming on the show.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomet can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomet comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We had an interesting controversy over the naming of some Navy ships. You know, that's always such a big deal. Usually it's war heroes, etc. We're going to dive into that in a second. This caught my eye, and maybe you already know the story. It involves Gabby Giffords, but we'll get to that in a second here on ATN with me, Kate Delaney. Howdy to all of you third shifters who are alive and jumping out there. Speaking of alive and jumping, what is happening when it comes to our national security? Janet Napolitano talked about a couple of different things as she grabbed the mic earlier in the day on Wednesday. As the Homeland Security Secretary, she's saying that she's worried about the possibility that Hezbollah might attack the United States. She was telling the people on the Hill that they've contacted Jewish organizations and they're working with intelligence agencies, and they've heard a lot of chatter about this potential attack. No kidding. The list grows long. Taliban, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah. I mean, pick your poison. I know that's not shocking to any of you, but when they say it, it means there's a real, I think that they're worried that there's a real threat, and they want to make sure they have a net around them in case something happens. Iran launching all their attacks against Israeli interests. That happened in India and Thailand and even Georgia. And Hezbollah, which we know is in Lebanon, that's where they exist mostly. And I think there's some sleeper cells too. But the Defense Department is saying that they get about $100 million to $200 million a year in funding from Iran. So for all the people that think we should negotiate with Iran, here's just some more information about things that are happening behind the scenes. So she's saying that it is definitely a credible threat and is worth watching. But, you know, ultimately, aren't we always constantly monitoring? Aren't we always constantly in trouble? Is there ever a second where you can let out a breath when you're in that position and you know you see all the information that's coming in? And the answer is no, of course not. And then the question becomes, along with that threat, is how much safer are we than we were on 9/11, after 9/11, on the heels of that? I mean, there's the question. You as an American, wherever you are right now, whether you're, maybe you're even overseas somewhere listening to me, but let's just say in this country, you're listening to me in Connecticut, Florida, New York, Illinois, the great state of Maine, Washington State, Texas, Missouri, you know, pick your place. Do you on a daily basis think about that? Do you think, we're ripe for an attack? I mean, are you having those conversations every once in a while? Does that conversation come up? And I don't think so. I think that the average American is hibernating, not thinking about this every day, but it's like the buzz in the background. You know that that's a possibility. So are we safer than on 9/11? That's an interesting question because we see the problems with the TSA. Are they really the gatekeepers? Ultimately, if we're talking about planes, I say no. I'm not saying they never catch anyone, but there's so many problems and it's so discombobulated. I would say no, that there's better ways to trap a would-be terrorist on that front. But in some senses, we're maybe the heightened awareness, although that's dulled a little bit. Here's Janet Napolitano's take.
Right now, we have no specific or credible threat against any organization or target in the United States, but this is certainly a situation that bears watching.
10 years after the September 11th attacks, America is stronger and more secure today thanks to the strong support of the President and the Congress, the work of the men and the women of the Department of Homeland Security, and local, state, and federal partners across the Homeland Security enterprise.
I would give credit to the agencies that are working together because that was the problem that we had before 9/11. They weren't sharing information in the pipeline, the FBI, the CIA. Now there's a little bit more of that and other agencies, so that has to be helping. If there's something that comes on the radar that they can share with three or four other places in the country, let's say, about something that might happen, certainly you could rally agents a lot faster, without a doubt, without a doubt. But overall, I'd say it's somewhere in the middle, honestly. I mean, it's day-to-day. Aren't we all day-to-day? And it is day-to-day. Some good things are happening cooperation-wise. I have a buddy that works at the Pentagon. I mentioned him before. So I see through him what positive things are happening, but also, as he said, as we've had former CIA people on and current people that are in the game, it's you never can be vigilant enough because you just don't know. And the sleeper cells are the thing that scares them the most, people that could be planted in the United States. All right, let's move from that to warships, actually, or Navy ships. The Navy Secretary, Ray Mabus, is getting a lot of heat from veterans and even from Congress for naming ships after Democrats and social activists. And now they're going through, every once in a while they go through a round of ship names in the near future. It's like hurricanes. They put out the names of hurricanes. Only if your name's on the ship, well, you're talking about forever. You're on that ship. That's a high, high honor. So the names chosen for five surface ships, three for war heroes, two for locations, and ships are typically named after states and cities, too. We see that. My husband was on an aircraft carrier, and his was the John Stennis, I think it is, Stennis. Easy for me to remember, even though I've seen the plaque and I've seen the plank, but the Stennis. He was, and the reason you get the plank is because you're there when they're building the ship, and He said it was absolutely incredible what goes into that, and of course the amount of money. So here's the thing, they're breaking with some of the Navy traditions for the past couple of years when they named an amphibious ship, two cargo ships, a combat ship after a few other people, including the name that's come up is Gabby Giffords, you know, using her name. So here's the question. Is that just sacred ground? Is that a no-no, even how you might feel about what happened? Is the Navy secretary really out of bounds by suggesting, by throwing up the names that they're throwing up and after politicians instead of what normally the Navy would do? I mean, there have been exceptions in the past to the Navy's ship naming rules for the purpose of naming a ship for a person when the rule for that the kind of ship normally would have called for it to be named, you know, something else. And is there kind of a breakdown in this thing? And, you know, there are certain protocol. There's certain protocol that has to be followed. And there's certain things that people expect. So in December, senators added something new to the defense budget bill that directs the defense secretary, Leon Panetta, to submit a report to Congress on the process they use for naming ships. And the actual bill, I'm not making this up, the bill asks whether the Navy has moved away from the historical practices of the past. And if so, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? Because people are writing to Congress. See, this is why I say power to the people. If enough people complain, the senator or the congressperson gets uncomfortable, they start to ask questions, and now they want to know the reasons why. Why a Navy boat is named after somebody. And after all, it is taxpayer dollars, so they have to answer the, he's going to have to answer the question, because it's not my way or the highway, it's tax dollars, and it's the legislative branch wanting to know how this comes about. I don't know that many people are, the Giffords thing, I think it's going to be kind of hands off for some people that forget the whole politics of that, but they named a combat ship after her last week, and we know the story that she retired from Congress and she's rehabbing, and she did serve on the House Armed Services Committee, but there are a few question marks out there to be sure. What do they do? Take the name off the boats? Whoop, we changed our mind. Change in protocol. We've got to erase that name off of there. Oh, I hope not. That'd be ugly, wouldn't it?